The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
If you move into a community, you have to become a part of it. You can't just be like sectioned off. And so you have to, in some sense, around your local area, assimilate. I know that's a bad word, but like, it's
why
complete hegemony is not the goal. And I think that America is built for complete hegemony. I mean, it's cultural. That's just what we do. That's our largest cultural export. And so retaining what makes your culture unique and bringing it, you know, not losing the good, right, and becoming completely American in all of its many negative aspects is important.
Welcome to The Crunch, the only Catholic podcast about Catholic social teaching and all of its implications. It's your boy Ethan.
And I'm Pat Solidarity Subsidiarity Nevy.
Is it against name. Catholic social teaching for me to come to your house and beat you up?
God, I sure hope so. Sounds uncomfy.
No.
Are we talking about Welcome to the Crunch? It's a Catholic podcast where Ethan and I get together. We have a few laughs. We come out to the coast, have a few laughs, and we're glad you're here.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Nashua thing.
What is?
Isn't Nashua a town on the East Coast?
Yeah, but Die Hard takes place on the West Coast. That's
Nashua. Oh, it's in New Hampshire.
Nashua is in New Hampshire, indeed. It's also a Greek...
to say the Hamptons, I think.
Wait, what am I thinking of? Nashua? What am I thinking of? I don't know. It's a Greek island, I think.
Crete?
Greek.
Crete.
Yeah, Crete's an island.
Yes.
It's also a song by Radiohead.
Australia.
I'm a Crete.
Listen.
I'm a minotaur.
You can't say that in 2024.
Minotaur with the hard R.
Minotaur with the hard R. What's been going on, man? I haven't talked to you in several days, man. How are you?
It's been a crazy couple of days, man. I tell you what,
I canceled the bonus podcast. I was sick.
Yeah, I heard about that. I'm still kind of sick. I was worried we were gonna have to cancel the main podcast because there were things rumbling. We had a couple of false alarms today. That's not fun.
Well, I think contractions when you're 40 weeks pregnant are not false alarms. Those are just alarms. It's coming.
No, we had some alarms. You know?
I don't think there's nothing false about it. The baby's coming.
Yeah, baby's coming, but it's like there's also this huge mess right now. So there's three hospitals.
You're talking about Trump's campaign, bro?
Yeah, dude. No. There's three hospitals. One is closing, one is opening, and one we do not want to go to. The one that is closing tonight at midnight.
Hospitals can't close, first of all.
Hospitals can't close.
If you're a hospital, you have to be open all day. Sorry.
And here's how they're doing it. All right, the labor and delivery wing is closing. I don't know if the whole hospital is closing, but the L&D wing is closing. Because they're moving it to a better location. So they built this hospital on an island in the middle of the river. Okay.
It's looks a Greek really island cool. called Nashua.
It looks really cool to put a hospital in the middle of a river. Uh-huh. But the problem is that you can't like expand because it's an island. And when there's a hurricane, everyone has to go.
Is this a hospital for people in jail? Are you trying to take your wife? Be like, babe, it's cheaper at the prison hospital.
It's cheaper at the jail hospital. The Joker comes and delivers your baby.
They
put it in the middle of the water so you can't escape with your someone else's baby. So that L&D wing is closing. It's moving over to the Vieira Hospital. But the Vieira Hospital is not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
Why did they not wait a week? So in the meantime, if you need to be admitted to the hospital after midnight tonight, you have to go to the hospital that's very close to our house. Now, one would say, oh, that's so convenient. It's the one that's close to your house. Our midwife is going to be at the hospital in Cape Canaveral for the whole weekend. They just won't admit us to see her if we have the baby over the weekend. And the hospital at Holmes, the hospital near us is like a really poorly rated hospital. So we don't want to go there.
I mean, to be fair, you don't need a hospital to give birth. It's just there That's in case true. Things go wrong. So, you know. And then you can also, people don't know this, you can just leave if the it's not going well. You know?
Yes, I did know that. I did know that. We did leave. We left after Leo was born. They were like, oh, yeah, you'll like stay here for a couple more days. And we were like, we're fine. Can we go home now?
Yeah. Does that ping you on the insurance? Do they get you? Like, oh, you left early?
I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah.
Well, Josie's going to be born. Phoebe turns 26 this month. And so she's on her parents' insurance. And then she is on. So Josie's on her parents' insurance. And then right after. So who cares? It's not our insurance anymore.
That's true. It's a good point. I think you should go. You should go give birth. Go in that case. Go give birth somewhere nice. Get the go to Miami. Get the nice hospital.
The
hospital that's attached to the club instead of the prison hospital that's next to your home.
I thought it'd be cool to go to the Cape Canaveral Hospital on the water because like we'd wake up and we'd see the beautiful river in the morning. All of the rooms look out. What?
It's just such a different when our first child was born, I was not looking out the window at the view.
Really?
You know what I mean? He was screaming. I was trying to take care of my wife. I was trying to sleep. She was trying to sleep. There was no time for sightseeing. What are you doing in the hospital where you're just like, oh yes, time to look at the river?
There wasn't that moment after the baby was born, a long night of labor, and it's the morning and you look out onto the Pittsburgh.
No, he
downtown.
Cried for 3 days straight.
Man. Dude, that sucks, man.
I know.
Leo's just not a crier.
Could you give birth on a spaceship?
I could. No one can hear your screams. That's from Alien.
Mm-hmm.
Some people give birth. I hear Alien's all about giving birth on a spaceship.
Yes. If we were on the bonus podcast, I would say something different. But I'm not going to say it because we're on the main show. And you guys don't get my real takes on here. You guys, if you listen to this podcast, you think you know me? You don't.
You don't
know me.
You don't know him.
You don't know. When I'm on the bonus pod, I'm the real me.
Yes, it's true.
That's a fact. What happens if your wife goes into labor during this podcast? Do I have to finish solo?
I think we would just cancel it and post it anyway. I think that'd be a fun way to end the show. It's not like if my wife starts going into labor, I have to leave now. You know, I can finish up the podcast if we're like five minutes to the end. You know what I mean? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Leo did come very fast. And so I would need to go immediately. But phone's on. Yeah. You know, we'll see.
That's good.
See what happens.
Dude, my phone's on too. We're so similar in that way.
Dude, I can't believe Josie was due on the 9th. It is the 15th.
How have they not induced your wife yet? Usually doctors get all angsty.
We told them the we lied to them, you see.
Nice. Based.
There were a couple ways to estimate it, so we estimated late because were like, if you go to 40 weeks and 6, we're going to induce you.
Mm-hmm.
And Phoebe was like, "No, thank you." And they said, "Yeah, we're going to do it." I told you she had that whole, the reason why we don't want to go to this one hospital is because we had this big problem where Phoebe was like, oh, I want to do it natural. And the midwife the whole time, or not the midwife, the OB was like, well, you know, it's okay. And there's nothing wrong with it. And she's like, I know. I just want to do, I'd like to do it this way.
At that point, you look at the doctor, you'd be like, do other people's choices threaten your self-image?
Yeah.
Do you not make enough money as a doctor?
You're a doctor. You're fine.
How come you, as a doctor, are telling me what to do with my body?
Yeah. Come on, man. Get out of here with this. But yeah, she... Hmm. I think my wife got fired from her OB because they were like, I don't think we can care for you because you don't want to do things the way that we want you to. It was awful.
Whatever happened to the hippopotamus oath?
The Hippocratic oath?
No matter what, we will kill more humans per year than shark. Hold on. I'm mixed up. When they said, no matter what, we will cause no harm.
Oh, like hippos kill more people than sharks do per year?
Yeah, keep up. Come on.
Hippos kill more people than sharks? How many sharks do they kill?
You're going to make me sick again single-handedly. I was getting better, and you're going to make me worse. The Hippocratic Oath states, do no harm. But then the doctor's like, this person is telling me that they don't want me to do certain things to them. So I'm going to fire them. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. What about the emotional labor?
That's a Marxist thing.
Do you want me to have my phone on just in case?
Just in case Emma goes into labor?
No, Phoebe.
You want you to have your phone on just in case Phoebe goes into labor?
No, I mean, I got the United flight page up. I'll just buy a ticket. Come down.
just come down.
You help out with the baby. I mean, who else is going to help? Who else is going to watch Leo when you're at the hospital?
Oh, my mom. My mom is. My mom is.
No, yeah. Oh. Okay.
We also have some really good friends nearby who said, hey, if your mom doesn't answer, just...
Text Ferrando. Tell him to cancel the car. Thank you. Yeah, I just had a car to the airport so that I could be ready to go see you.
You have a town car with a guy outside with a hat and gloves and a vest.
Yeah, he's my driver, Ferrando, and I got him for this event.
And you're making me.
Yeah, I'm firing him.
Oh, man.
Actually, you just caused an immigrant to lose his job. Think about that.
Dude.
What?
Wow.
What? It's all of a sudden, part of getting a job is the potential of losing them. Everyone's all about the immigrants getting jobs. But then when they lose, I mean, white people are allowed to lose jobs. You know, it's no problem. Think about that.
Yeah. I'm all for equal opportunity. I think everyone should be in danger of getting fired. That's my opinion. Speaking of immigrants.
Yeah.
What did you think about I'm not talking about like the mass deportation now, people. I think we can look at that for the hyperbole that it is.
Yes.
And we can instead look at the meaning behind.
It just depends on what you mean when you say mass deportation, because that means different things to different people.
Depending, yeah.
To some people, if you deport anyone, it's a mass deportation.
Yes.
And to other people, it means let's deport 5 to 15 million immigrants.
Yes.
Which is
a whole and their thing. Children who were born here, and their grandchildren who were born here. Like that's right. It can go all the way over there, and so like we're not going to go all the way over there. But a Catholic guy who's blocked me, so I don't really feel the need to talk about him. he said something. I'll actually pull up the screenshot. Someone asked us if we could talk about this.
Really?
Actually? Yeah. Someone wanted us to talk about Catholic social teaching.
It's very difficult to talk about Catholic social teaching without coming off as a complete... You made this tweet. Catholic social teaching is either the most based thing ever or the most liberal thing ever, depending on who's saying it and how they frame it.
Yes.
Which is probably the sign of a good teaching, to be honest with you.
I did say the dumbest opinion you've ever heard, not the most liberal opinion you've ever heard, but I'll take it.
What's the freaking difference? Am I right?
Hey, there it is.
Zing.
Dude, I got someone so good today. Did I show you that?
I did see it. I see it. Everything you post on your alt, I see. But now your alt is just becoming things that happen on your main, and there's a reason I don't follow your main.
Yeah.
I want the alt to be back when you used to swear about your boss on there. Come on. That
was great. That's what the alt needs to be,
Those are the good old days. Like, Patrick's mad. I'm going to text him to see if he's okay. But now it's like, look at this thing I did on the account you're intentionally not following. It's like, dang it. You need a third alt. It's back to the OG.
My third alt is my DMs to you. That's the third alt. The things that I don't post because there's people that follow my alt that I don't fully trust.
podcast.
None of the listeners. Some patrons follow. Anyway, the so I someone said no serious theologian believes in the assumption, and I was like, that's just not true. Like, what are you talking about? And he was like, there are many Jesuit theologians who disagree with you. And I was like, I thought you said serious theologians. Hey, but seriously, folks.
Hey, and everyone stood up on the plane and clapped for you at that moment.
He set me up. It was so easy.
He did set you up. You did.
There's so many Jesuit theologians. Oh man, you could have said anything else and it would have been fine. Okay, so this guy posted, "Is this Catholic social teaching seriously?" And it was to J.D. Vance saying, "Kamala Harris has pursued a policy of allowing large numbers of unvetted immigrants into our country. This has led to predictable and extremely tragic results." And then he's also quoting somebody. And Tony is quoting somebody, and I'm quoting somebody. It's just Twitter is just one big. There's a word for it, but who cares? So yeah, and so the JD is talking about the undocumented immigrant problem, which has been a problem for some time, and those left of center on, I'll say Catholics left of center, sometimes frame it as like a. As cut and dry as the pro-life issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like...
Yes.
It is a pro... Like, I'm a seamless garment Catholic. I think we need to respect immigrants and protect the unborn. And they don't see the multiple factors at play that could make it permissible to deport someone. Yes. Whereas there is no... There's no... It's never permissible to kill a baby. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. There are, you do have a right to sovereign borders and you do have the right to protect and enforce them. Nobody ever has the right to kill an innocent person.
Kill a kid, yeah.
Right. So it's like, because there's never a just reason to do that. There are just reasons to prevent someone from entering your country. So it's kind of a, even if it is much, it's difficult to figure that out. It's nuanced. It's difficult for people to wrap their minds around it because they want it to be simple and cut and dry.
Yes.
And it's easier if we just have to welcome all the immigrants and love them and take care of them, then it's easy for me to say, well, you're wrong because you don't think this way. And then I'm right because I'm with all these other people that agree with me. And there's just no middle ground. I'm going to read, I quote, I got in on this conversation, not on that same thread, but on a different thread. I just looked up, you can Google anything these days. I just looked up immigration, Catholic social teaching, USCCB. And I just typed that into the old Google machine. And I read the article that comes up on the USCCB website. And this is what it says. Some of you might be surprised by this. I certainly was. I didn't think it was going to say this.
I know. I didn't think the USCCB, and this is what I'm saying. It's either the most liberal thing you've ever heard or it's super base.
Now, this is one paragraph. Admittedly, in a larger, there's a first point, a second point, a third point, right? There's more at play here, but I think this paragraph is relevant. While individuals have the right to move in search of a safe and humane life, no country is bound to accept all those who wish to resettle there. By this principle, the church recognizes that most immigration is ultimately not something to celebrate. Ordinarily, people do not leave the security of their own land and culture just to seek adventure in a new place or merely to enhance their standard of living. Instead, they migrate because they are desperate and the opportunity for a safe and secure life does not exist in their own land. Immigrants and refugees endure many hardships and often long for the homes they left behind. As Americans, we should cherish and celebrate the contributions of immigrants and their cultures. However, we should work to make it unnecessary for people to leave their own land. So,
agreed.
I posted this and a lot of people liked it, right? Some people said things like, well, this doesn't make any sense because nowhere in there does it say you should deport people. And I didn't respond this way, but it's like, that's like looking at the law where it says murder is illegal and being like, well, it doesn't say to put people in jail. So I guess we don't know what to do.
If someone murders someone, we don't know what to do.
we don't know what to do now because I know that murder's wrong, but it doesn't say what to do about it. So... I guess there's no punishment. I guess there's no recourse.
Maybe we could change the word from deport to something a little more...
Relocate.
Yeah, forcibly relocate. Wait. What was
resettle?
The... Resettlement? We'll send them to reservations.
We could maybe we could reserve some land for them.
Yeah.
And we could call them reservations. So I don't think that's a good strategy. I do think it's interesting that last line, we should work to make it unnecessary for people to leave their own land. So it's kind of from that perspective, it's very easy to see that the liberal approach is backwards from a Catholic social teaching perspective, because what we're doing functionally is making America a place where all immigrants can thrive and flourish. As long as you're an immigrant, right?
Yeah. Even if you're not.
In some places, like in the UK and Ireland and those places, like the immigrants get paid basically a UBI to just live there. They get $800 a week or something to just exist because they're an immigrant. And they get housing paid for and all these things. And it's like, well, what? And then the person who's born there gets absolutely nothing, which doesn't seem right. So it's just backwards. It's like making the country that people are immigrating to a place that's good for immigrants and not good for its own people, instead of, what if we took all of those resources or whatever and we could help make these other places? If you're a first world nation that has an excess of wealth, then it's your duty to help other nations, not so much your duty to make your nation the place where everybody else lives, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just not how it's ever worked. Like, when England was on its game, they went around the world and they were like, let's make it all English. And they did. And it was like, that's how they expanded their empire. That was colonialism, which is wrong. But if you think about it, I mean, a lot of those places benefited in some way.
Colonialism,
I'm not saying that the slave trade was right.
But it also helps people get tea. So who's to say it's wrong? Bad or not? Dude, I know you hate me bringing up The Office.
That's fine.
I've been watching in my spare time, whenever that happens. I'll watch like a little episode of the super extended cut that has a bunch of deleted scenes that they cut back in. So they recut the episodes like director's cut. Yeah. And there's an episode where they're debating, speaking of slave trade, that's what brought it up.
Yeah.
There's an episode where they're debating whether an actress is hot. And Daryl from the warehouse comes up and casts his vote. And Andy is like, you're not in the office. You're in the warehouse. You shouldn't be allowed to vote.
That's funny.
And then he's like, and then someone's like, well, he should get, he's like, Daryl's like, I think I should get a vote. And someone's like, well, maybe he should get like, and Andy goes, maybe you should get half a vote. And then Daryl goes, what about three-fifths?
Three-fifths, yeah.
And then Andy's like, all right, fine. And I was like, I understand why you cut that out. I don't think people were ready for that joke in 2009.
Yeah, that's the hard thing. That's the other hard thing, is the voting and it's weird to talk about. America is different than a lot of the West because there's no culture to be spoken of here.
Yeah.
Because it's the American melting pot. It's the grand experiment of liberalism, right? It's like anybody can come here, and as long as they are promised individual freedoms, then we have the right to flourish and we have the capacity to flourish. The problem is not recognizing that in and of itself is a culture. Mm-hmm. So it's like we spend all this time talking about how different we are, but then not realizing that there was, I don't think there is anymore, but there was some type of American culture for a while, at least from like post-Civil War through Cold War, you know, like there was something there. I don't know if it's still there, but I think about in like the UK, right? Guy gets arrested for trying to rape a 14-year-old girl, and his defense is, I didn't know that was illegal here.
I'm going to need a news article about that. I don't believe that happened.
I'll find it and I'll send it to you. He just said it on camera. Yeah. And he might have just been trying to play dumb or something, you know, to get out of it. But like, and I'm not saying every immigrant is like that, right? That's the problem. That's a trap that people fall into, is they say, well, some of these people are rapists and murderers and thieves, so that must mean all of them are. This is not like a reason to hate people or to say you don't belong here or whatever. Like you said, if someone has a legitimate if they are fleeing something, right? If they need a safe and humane life with clean water and mm-hmm. access to food, and like we can help them, then we should, obviously. And you should treat every person with the right dignity. But then there's this, like, how do you balance those two of okay, now we're giving $3,200 a month and free housing to the guy that didn't know it was illegal to rape 14-year-old girls. So that's clearly wrong, you know? So like what
I think there's also more factors at play. This is, I mentioned this with the subsidiarity and solidarity thing. Solidarity is good. We should have solidarity with, you are a human being, you're a member of the human family. I see you in myself. You know, you are the image of God, just like me. And so therefore, simply because you are proximate to me, you are my neighbor, even if, you know, but like solidarity with the whole world needs to be balanced with subsidiarity, which is the proximate is, so I got that backwards with the solidarity thing. Solidarity is everyone, even if they're not next to you. Subsidiarity is that the proximate should receive priority from you. Like, not just, you know, your next door neighbor is mm-hmm. actually your neighbor in
right.
in a broad sense. Everyone is your neighbor, but your next door neighbor is super your neighbor. You have a duty to them, to help them. You know, if you're like, if your neighbor is starving and you're like, sorry, I've been sending all of my money overseas, there's a problem, there's a disorder there. And so when it comes to our own country, we prefer, the left at least prefers solidarity to subsidiarity. They prefer solidarity without subsidiarity. And I think there's a lot of, you mentioned it, cultural reasons. There's cultural reasons to do that, because our cultural ethos is, we are the bring me your huddled masses. Mm-hmm. Not only like in the 1800s, but also we forget this, like, We are still generationally traumatized by World War II, and the only reason why a bunch of Jewish people are still around is because we took them in.
Right.
You know, it's like the only reason why Jewish people survived was because of immigration.
A lot of them, you know, lived here until Israel was established, and then they moved over there.
And so, I think that's where, you know, immigration was prosperity in the 1800s in the Golden Age, and then immigration became a moral imperative to keep people from being systematically exterminated. And so I think we have that kind of
in the popular mind, not necessarily in reality.
Yes. And there's also other factors at play, not just like the people. I think people in power are purposefully playing off of that heartstring thing, and to their advantage, because if we remember, the immigration in the Golden Age is what boosted the power of the Democratic Party in the first place. There were, mm-hmm. maybe you remember this unit in AP US history, but it's like the political bosses, people just waiting on the docks, welcoming immigrants and handing them, you know, giving them keys to an apartment and meals mm-hmm. and a place to stay, and be like, hey, don't forget to vote Democrat.
Yes.
A lot of the progressive reforms in the Roosevelt era were due to those political bosses. And it's just happening again. And it's that's the method. Yeah. It's like, you got to bring in new people, because you've hoodwinked everyone else got wise. And so you got to bring in new people.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Crunch. Sorry to interrupt what I'm sure is a stimulating intellectual conversation, but I wanted to pause the episode real quick to let you hear from some of our sponsors. We will be back right after this.
Phoebe, you know what I hate?
What do you hate?
Big tech.
Okay.
I live in constant fear of my precious Twitter account getting taken down, because I don't own it. I like owning the places where my website is, and that's why The Crunch, I don't know if you know this, The Crunch website is hosted on Patmos. Are you familiar with Patmos?
I am not.
I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. Patmos is your island of refuge in the ocean of big tech. They provide top-notch web and app hosting services, hosting and API GPU services. And if you know what that means, tell me. That's awesome. I don't know if I should say that, but I'm not the techie guy. They handle all of our website stuff, and it runs more smooth than it ever has in the past. All backed by no censorship guarantee. I know I can say anything I want on this podcast. I made a joke on the last episode, a little bit off color. I know that me saying something like that isn't going to get me thrown off the internet, and our livelihood won't be taken away from us. You like feeding our children, right?
I enjoy that very much.
Thanks to Patmos, I can safely feed my children ongoing. They offer unbeatable pricing and security from the ground up because they own the dirt that their servers sit on. They own everything that your stuff is hosted on. And I get the best service because I have like an actual person to talk to. Her name's Camilla. She's great. And they never offshore or sub out work. Everything is done in-house by them. There's just no better value in tech services than Patmos. I'm being honest when I say that. They've taken such good care of us. Whether you want to build an awesome new app or a website, or host your current site, all you need to do is reach out to Patmos at patmos.tech. They help businesses, missions, churches of all sizes accomplish their goals with great value and service. Tell them The Crunch sent you, and you get 10% off your next web project or free hosting migration, whichever you need. That's patmos.tech, freedom as a service. Isn't that great, Bibi?
It's amazing.
I know, right? It's awesome. Thanks for joining me for the ad read. I love you. Hey, Phoebe. Do you remember when I crapped myself the first day I did Exodus 90?
I will never forget
that. So, hi, my name is Patrick Devy. I did Exodus 90 a couple of years ago, and I did poop my pants on the first day because I fasted and drank too much coffee. But did you know that Exodus 90 is not just about fasting and cold showers before Easter? Did you know that?
No, I didn't. Tell me more.
So they do a little thing called St. Michael's Lent that you can actually go sign up for now if you are a man and you're interested in getting yourself ready for Advent, getting yourself ready for Christmas. You can download their app and you can actually get their, they have daily scripture meditations, prayers, reflections on getting closer to God as a man. They have also have a new course on the Eucharist just in time. For now that we're after the Eucharistic revival, we can, you know, get closer to Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. If you go to exodus90.com/thecrunch, you can let them know that we sent you, and you can enjoy the beautiful prayers and courses they have available on there right now. It's exodus90.com/thecrunch. Thank you, Exodus 90, for sponsoring this episode of The Crunch.
Yeah, it is interesting to think about the one of the reasons that America slingshotted past everybody in the late 1800s and 1900s is because we just imported so much human capital. So there was just so many bodies that we could throw into the factories and we could put them up faster than anybody. And so that was, I mean, initially, that's why you have all these Polish and Italian and Irish working class families, right? It's because they were the people that were coming over and just getting thrown into the machine. And then later on, it's Mexicans and people from South America, and now it's Indians and people from the Middle East, and it just kind of is, you can see it just kind of expanding around the globe. Like people eventually learn like, oh, I can go there and I can find work. But now it doesn't make as much sense because our economy is not a labor-based economy anymore.
It's an information-based economy, and technically you can go anywhere, and it's actually cheaper to stay over there.
Yes. Which is, but it hasn't reached over there in the same way. Which is just really interesting that in order to get to the place that we're even in now, where we have the resources that people want to come here for, we don't have an economy that's built on people coming here anymore.
Oh yeah.
So
that's a good
it's
point.
Just, yeah, it's like we're in this weird, weird stage. And it's actually, I mean, the economic stuff is crazy too. 'Cause what does love your neighbor mean, to your point? In my mind, if I could flip a switch and I could reduce home prices and increase wages and make houses more available and affordable to people, the people in my neighborhood, I would do it. Well, deporting a bunch of people solves that problem because you have a lot of people who are here working for less money, who are taking a lot of government money, which is inflating the dollar, and more people means there's more people competing for housing. And so it's... all of the things that people complain about on a day-to-day basis, it's not like we could just snap our fingers and all of those things would be solved, but it's difficult to point to one other thing that would help that as quickly and as decisively, you know? Because if you take 5 million people or 10 million people off the... And this is what the mass deportations thing is. It's like if we take 10 million people off the government dole, then that just... That reduces inflation, that saves us a lot of money that we shouldn't be spending. Like, we're subsidizing all of this. We're going into debt as a country. A lot of people see that as a bad thing. I think, fair.
Imagine.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. So I think it's a lot of people see it as this like callous, anti-Christian reality. But I think there's, and there's certainly humane ways to deport people. I'm not saying we inhumanely rip people out of their homes in the middle of the night and like traumatize their kids. Like, hey, instead of paying you this month the however many thousands of dollars you get from the government, we're going to organize your trip back to your home country or a different country of your choice. You know, like there's a way to do it where it's not horrible.
I have a relevant Trump tweet.
There's always one.
I can't remember if it's about immigration, but hold on, I'm pulling it up. But yeah, to clarify, it's like I think it's inhumane to bring a bunch of people. Ah, here we go. Oh, this is a false claim.
Did he get community noted?
The image recently resurfaced. Oh, I guess it's a fake quote. Bummer.
Post it. Post it anyway.
If the Dow Jones ever falls more than 1,000 points in a single day, the president should be loaded into a very big cannon and shot into the sun at tremendous speed. No excuses.
That's pretty funny.
I like the loaded. Anyway, I don't know if that's true or not, but who knows? I think, and this is a controversial opinion, it is inhumane to let someone come into your country and then put them on government money. I actually think that's an awful thing to do to somebody.
It's like the same people who are saying, oh, these rich kids just get on daddy's payroll and they never learn how to grow up or work for themselves. It's the exact same thing, just with more steps. You know?
It's taxpayer dollars. It's inhumane because it's like it cuts them off. Like I even thought about that myself. I was like, wouldn't it be nice to have all my stuff paid for? And I was like, actually, it would suck. I would never move up. I would never work. You know, it wouldn't be. It's not. We see so what just, it does to people, and it's not
right.
Good.
It's just you invite them here, and you're like, all right, well, now that you're here, instead of giving you incentives to become a productive person, which is not good just for the economy. I think a lot of people think like, oh, you want to be a productive member of society. You just want to contribute to the GDP. No, work is good for people.
Yes.
Like it's good for you to work. So to bring a bunch of people here and then say, we're going to support you so that you don't have to work. Or if you do have to work, you don't have to work very hard and it doesn't really matter. And even if you do get a job, you don't have to be qualified for it. And, we're going to make sure that you don't get fired. It's like, well,
we used to have people immigrate for jobs. That's why my wife's grandfather ended up coming to America was because they needed skilled mechanics and they went to Mexico. It was like, hey, is anyone? And he was like, I am. And he brought his whole family over and they moved up to Chicago. And that's how he immigrated. Mm-hmm. I think my mother-in-law listens so she can correct me. And my intent if I got it wrong, but it's like that's how you do it that, you know, you come for a job and I got it wrong. The political bosses would offer them jobs, like that's what they would do, be like, oh, hey, you got employment, you know, but that doesn't seem to be what's happening here. It's like, you're just, here's a place for you to be that's not Venezuela. It's America now.
Right. Yeah, a lot of people are criticizing the Republicans because they posted that tweet of import the third world, become the third world. A lot of people said that was really racist. What do you think about that?
I do think that it's silly to imagine that, you know, someone just becomes an American because they moved here and now they are an American. It's like there ought to be a cultural identity. I think there ought to be a cultural identity but there also ought to be a cultural plurality. Like at the same time, you know, there's a common cultural identity. I mean, you see this with immigrants. They get really, that like immigrate legally. They get like super into being American. They're like, they love it. And it's like, that's great. We love it. You're on the team. Let's go. And they got like a gigantic Mexican flag outside on their yard. And we're like, that's awesome. We love it. You love to see it. But then there's like, you do have to,
come on.
You have to be a part. If you move into a community, you have to become a part of it. You can't just be like sectioned off. And so you have to, in some sense, around your local area, assimilate. I know that's a bad word, but like, it's
why
complete hegemony is not the goal. And I think that America is built for complete hegemony. I mean, it's cultural. That's just what we do. That's our largest cultural export. And so retaining what makes your culture unique and bringing it, you know, not losing the good, right, and becoming completely American in all of its many negative aspects is important. But it's like, it is correct if you bring in people from, if you bring in, you know, mass import people from a certain country, you're, that area of the country is going to become more like that country. So whatever, just take that for what it is. Perhaps that's a good thing. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. But it's,
so you're opposed to Chinatown existing?
No, I just said I don't think it's a bad thing. But it's like, if you import a bunch of people from a country, they're going to concentrate in an area that makes it more like that country. Chinatown is a great example. You know, Morningside, Pittsburgh is a great example. That Morningside and I think Brookfield over there in Pittsburgh, they're both just so Italian. It's just incredible. Everybody, my friend Nino, all of his family members live in that neighborhood. That's not a thing anymore. They all live in that neighborhood and they all walk to church and there's like an Italian grocery store and it's like, that's Italian. Like, that's great. And they, you know, I don't know, but it's that if you import a bunch of people from Italy, they're going to make little Italy and that's fine. If you import, if you import little, I don't know, what's a good, if you import Somalia, just the pirate section, you're going to get little Somalia, just the pirate section.
Right. I think, and I think a lot of people really hate that. Right. Because the argument that you're making is that some cultures are better than others, which the Catholic argument for this is yes, the closer a culture is to Catholicism, the better it is. Ultimately, the further away a culture is from Catholicism, the worse it is. So this is challenging for Catholics who live in America, where we've been told every day from kindergarten, right, that everyone's culture is the same. Everyone's culture has to be treated equally.
But it's also different.
But it's also different. And there's no such thing as white culture. And you white people don't have culture. You have baseball games and hot dog. And that's it.
And you don't spices on your food. You don't.
But real culture is Native American culture, Mexican culture, or, you know, Chinese culture, whatever. That's real culture. But American culture is not really real culture. Like, it's not celebrated in the same way. And we're just kind of told this throughout our whole lives. And that's why it's fair to say that bringing a bunch of people in from Islamic countries to create that type of environment is worse than bringing a bunch of people in from Christian or Catholic countries, because it will create a worse culture in wherever they go. And it's worse where they are now. Like, it's in the same way that they shouldn't come here and do that, we should go there and help them be Catholic so that they're not that over there. You know, like,
so you're calling for a crusade.
I'm not calling for a crusade. I'm calling for a crusade of the heart, maybe. I think we should evangelize.
I'm calling for a campus crusade for Christ. I'm calling for a country crusade. No, you're right.
And so I think the proper response for Catholics in this situation is like, okay, let's advocate for the thing that's right here, which is if we can vote for it or choose it, let's choose to not bring that here. But if it does come here, okay, what's my job as a Catholic? I'm going to go talk about Jesus Christ with these people. I'm going to live the gospel every day in my actions and how I act and how I talk to people.
Yeah,
man. I think that's what really confuses people is they're like, wait a minute. It can only be one or the other. It's like, no, if it was up to me, do not let them come here because they don't have a culture that is conducive to a healthy, productive society from the Catholic perspective. And that bears itself out. You can argue with me, but I feel like that's the traditional Catholic argument. And I think it's fine to have discussion about that. But when they do come, because they are coming, and there's lots of people around me that are different from me, let's be holy. Let's be saints. Let's not be mean to them. I don't hate them. That's like it's a difficult thing. It's taken us 40 minutes to talk about this because there's so many like traps that you can fall into.
Yes. Where everyone's like, there's so many rakes. There's so many rakes to step on that it's hard to
And we've probably stepped on a few. If you disagree with this, you can tell us in the Discord. That's bit.ly/crunchdiscord.
That's why they call it Discord, because it's the place for not a place for harmony. Right. I'll tell you that much.
I'm actually interested in what other people think about this, because it's sometimes I feel like I'm too far one way or too far the other.
It seems to me a logical conclusion is like some, and then you might disagree with the first premise, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some cultures are closer to Christ than other cultures. It is beneficial for a country to be closer to Christ. Therefore, if you're going to bring people into your country, you should prefer cultures that are closer to Christ.
Yes.
And that seems like a logical syllogism to me. You might disagree with one of those two premises, but it is a sound argument.
Yes. And that doesn't necessarily mean white people, right? Like
Italians weren't white until yesterday.
Bring on the Vietnamese. You know what I mean? Every Vietnamese person I've met is like the holiest person. Like there's tons. When we go at our church, there's a lot of Vietnamese people that live in Oklahoma City. The Filipinos. There's a lot of Vietnamese people that live in Oklahoma City to the point where like the cathedral has like missals and hymnals in Vietnamese or whatever their language is. And and at my church, there's often many families or many old people, and they sit around us and they're like waving at Peter, and they're like, they're grabbing his little hand as they walk by to go to communion. They're wonderful people. They're very holy people. Why? Because culturally they have this culture that has brought them in, and they can fit right in to an American Catholic parish without there being any sort of issue. Right.
Yes.
And that's clearly like better, you know? And I think that if you think that's wrong to say, I'd be interested genuinely to hear why I'm wrong. Cause I want to learn.
Yeah.
The other thing is
Vietnamese community at my parish, they mostly just keep to themselves except for four or five of them. And then they have a banging party just like some random day in February, and it just goes off, and it's just crazy. You don't see them until that party, and then they're all over the place.
No. Yes. They all congeal at that moment.
Yeah.
There was one tweet that I want to bring up from Matt Walsh. May he rest in peace. where he tweets so much, dude. It was just a day ago. Lay off the sauce, brother.
Brother, please.
That might have been the person he was responding to was deleted. Do you remember there's that island with the people who like shoot bows and arrows at the helicopters that go by?
Oh, yes.
So North Sentinel Island, right? So this person tweeted, one of the funniest things about modern leftism is that it simultaneously says we must respectfully preserve North Sentinel Island and its culture in a prehistoric bubble, and that if they magically showed up in America tomorrow, they'd be Americans just like us. This is the fundamental conflict, is right. Like there's this culture of cannibals that live on this island that kill anybody who comes anywhere near them, and refuse to, you know, that's what's what they are, right? They're this tribe that's cut off from time in history. They're just living there, and there's been attempts to meet people, and they just kill people. There's probably demons that live on that island, if I'm being frank. But the idea that, oh, well, that culture ought to be respected, it ought to be preserved. No, they ought to repent and convert. They ought to know Christ. Like they should not kill anybody who comes near their island. You know, that would be better for them if they did that. So it's like, you can't believe that this is good and then also say, well, any culture can come to America and flourish just fine. Cause that just, it just doesn't make any sense.
How come they, how come I can't immigrate to the North Sentinel Island?
Huh? Right. Because why can't they? Because you're white people.
But I have no, the power dynamic is shifted there. It's not the, I'm not their culture. I'm a minority. And so in the oppressive oppressed frame, I am the oppressed one because I am being killed. But
similarly, but if people tried to come here and we shot and killed them and shot bows and arrows at them and ate them, then people would be like, ah, that's evil. You can't do that.
Imagine if the you roles know? Were reversed.
As, imagine as if the roles were reversed.
Imagine, just imagine for a second mm-hmm. if.
It does suck. Reversed. It does suck that imagine if the roles were reversed is such a memed thing now for conservatives. I think they just did it too much. I think it is an effective rhetorical device in some yeah. cases, but if you use it every time, then no one's going to listen to you anymore.
It also is a problem because the roles are reversed, man. You don't have to imagine it. You do not have to imagine it. Come on.
Anyway, I've just been thinking a lot about this stuff because a lot of it's been coming up with the election. And a lot of people are claiming that things are Catholic teaching when they're not, actually.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for Americans to say that Catholic culture is better than other cultures because we actually haven't experienced Catholic culture in America, really. We've just experienced Protestant culture, which is why it's probably fine for us to be like, oh, yeah, whatever, because that's just what Protestantism is, you know? So
it's on to the next thing, you know?
Yeah, it's very weird and very odd. All right. Do you think we're going to, is this the episode where we get canceled? Do you think?
I hope so. It's been, we need some sauce. I tell you what.
I don't think we have enough listeners to get canceled.
No, I don't think so either. We're not powerful enough. Also, all the people that would hate this have blocked us on Twitter, and that's the mechanism on which you get canceled. So it's not like.
True.
Like who's going to get us? Mike Lewis? Come on. Who's going to come after us?
I'm actually just worried that I'm always worried that Firegreen 34 on Discord is going to disagree with something I say. I'm always nervous.
Firegreen 34 on Discord.
She's great. She's a patron. And I'm just always nervous that she's going to be like, Ethan, I didn't like what you said here. I'm like, oh, dang it. I messed up.
The thing about the patrons is that they love us. And the sunk cost fallacy will keep them from ever...
We're gonna use
I've already
money
supported
psychology
these guys
them.
Too much. I've yes. supported these guys too much.
Tell us on Discord if you think we're wrong or if you have a different interpretation of Catholic social teaching. We'd love to get the conversation going in a place where we can all trust each other and where it's okay to be wrong and you don't get called names for having an opinion. I think you should just be able to talk. And that's why we do this podcast. This wasn't a very funny podcast, I don't think.
No, it was, I thought we were going to have some more jokes. I thought we were going to goof a little bit, but we did not.
No, but well, that's what the dating corner is for.
Yeah, so. We're about to get into that. And remember, opinions can't hurt you. Only guns can hurt you.
I'd like to thank our sponsors, Patmos Hosting Solutions. Do we have any other sponsor for this episode?
Exodus 90.
Start St. Michael's Lent. It's not too late to join. Go to exodus90.com/thecrunch. Sign up today.
The Consecrate America Eucharistic campaign that's going on, Consecrate America, and I think Briefcase. Hold on, I think Briefcase is back. I gotta call him back.
I haven't seen any money in the bank, so I'm not saying a single word. No free pun.
Briefcase.marketing. Dan is so good. You need it. Dan's a great guy. You need your website, your parish website done. You got Dan. You got him.
Dan the man.
Oh, man.
We got a
Thanks
lot of
for
sponsors.
All of our, bro, people really. The, they're the all gonna ever had. That's the,
they're all gonna
crazy.
Leave after this podcast. We had the most sponsors we've ever had, and we pick this week to do the immigration episode.
No. Carmel Communications is based. They're the ones that reached out to us for Consecrate America. They're like, mm-hmm. they're like, oh yeah, we did the campaign for Cabrini. I was like, oh, so you know Bug Hall? They're like, yeah, we love Bug Hall. And I was like, oh yeah, I bet you do. I was like, okay. I know exactly what kind of people you
was
are.
Was Bug Hall in Cabrini?
He was briefly in Cabrini.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was he? I saw this movie.
He was like a guy on a train. He had a hat.
It's just most of the guys in that movie, actually.
I just saw a picture. Bug Hall followed me back on Twitter, and I deleted all the mean things I said about him. I was like, I'm not...
Dude, you're a coward.
I said.
Stand by your word.
I said. This is going to be funny after the podcast we just had. But I was like, it's Bug Hall used to be a little rascal, and now he's just a little racist. And people That's are like, funny. How dare you call him racist? What are you trying to do? Cancel him? Those are fighting words. I'm like, bro, I don't care if he's racist. I'm going to say it right now. You being racist doesn't hurt me. Really doesn't hurt many people, actually.
Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, Patrick.
That sounds like a communist.
It did come from a communist. You're in
love. Yeah, really?
Yes. Martin Luther King Jr. was a known communist. That's why the FBI killed him.
I forgot that was a Martin Luther King Jr. quote.
Yeah. What can you do? All right. We're going over to the bonus show. No, we're going over to the dating corner. So we're gonna leave you here. Love you guys. Patrick, do you have anything else for the people?
Sticks and stones will break your bones, but those people on North Sentinel Island will eat you.
Bones. Thank you all for listening. Please pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We'll see you all next time.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month?
They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster.
That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.